Now, here's one. Should there always be informed verbal consent between two people engaging in sexual activities? If so, does that still hold if a woman is highly intoxicated or if two people have a connection like Rourke and Dominique? Well, just if a woman is highly intoxicated, do you think there's much value in say, Jill, we're going to bed now, what do you think? I mean, if she's able to evaluate, that's one thing. But if you say highly intoxicated, there's no use talking to her. Now, if you say if two people have a connection like Rourke and Dominique, should there be informed verbal consent? Well, what do you think their relation is? They don't put it in words, but they know it. They know it 100%, and we know that from all the rest of the evidence. Just imagine the scene where they first sleep together, and you know the whole thing is the silence and the looking at each other and the underscoring of what it means to each. What would it be like if Ayn Rand had written as Rourke came in, you know, dressed as a workman, and Dominique had the perfume and the gown, and he said, I would like to sleep with you. How do you feel about it? I mean, that would be the end. If you have a passion and it's clear that the other person does, then you certainly destroy it by talking about it, by having to put it in words, because then the implication is you don't know what the other person's opinion is or a viewpoint is. And if you don't know, you better get to know the person a lot better. And I think you'll find if you do, you do not have to have verbal consent. Now, this idea of verbal consent is a feminist political correctness. The whole idea is males are evil and they rape women. So we're going to get around that by the man has to say to the woman, is this okay? But it doesn't help, of course, because the man says he did say it and the woman said he doesn't. And in the Ivy League today, a woman's testimony counts and a man's does not. So he's lost no matter what he does, unless he's gay. Then everything goes. But certainly informed verbal consent is absolutely unnecessary if you're talking outside the context of the Ivy League political correctness. It's bizarre, ridiculous. Is probably the greatest contraceptive there are, because by the time they've discussed it, they're not that interested, or they feel awkward. Or then the question comes up, he says, do I get your informed consent? And she says, yes, but I'd like to make a note of how far it goes. You can touch me up to the elbow, but not inside the armpit. And you can touch me outside the blouse, but not above the belly button, etc., etc. You have to have, and they do this. Their consent can't be just yes or no blanket. If you're letting this beast, the man, at you, you have to have, you know, the specification. What can you do? How long can you do it? Etc., etc. It simply is the end of spontaneous sex. And by spontaneous, I mean in a context where they both know the answer is yes. It's also a way, as I say, of harming men, deliberately done to harm men. If you want to know nihilism, this is a perfect example of nihilism, of destruction for its own sake. They are not trying to foster the safety of the women. They want to foster the destruction of the men. And what happens to women? These professors couldn't care less, except if they can get a chance to rape them themselves and then intimidate them that the grade will go down. Oh, yes, I've seen that happen. I've seen that happen a number of times. I've seen that happen so often that in some colleges, professors are forbidden to have the door open when they're seeing a student because the administration knows the percentage of professors who will leap at the student once the door is closed. Now, I assume there are better colleges, but I've never met them.